Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, we need to talk about the homemade pumpkin creamer.
It's important. This is important work. This is the Lord's work.
Okay. A few weeks ago, I was here.
Yes, you were.
And you said, Mallory made this homemade pumpkin creamer from TikTok. Do you want to taste it? I said, yeah, I want to taste it. And you gave me a taste of it in a little spoon. And I said, you need to send some of that home with me. And so you gave me this little sample, which I stretched out over about 4 days.
Now, wow, I that know, wasn't very
I
much.
I know, it wasn't very much creamer, but I loved it so much. I was like, I got to make this last.
Yeah.
And then then one weekend, one of our friends walked in the door at my house and she had a whole quart mason jar.
Right.
And said, this is from Mallory. I said, she said, it's pumpkin creamer. I said, no, it's not. It is love in a jar. That is what that is.
I
have loved it so much. I now make a cup of coffee in the afternoon just so I can pour that pumpkin creamer. I love it. I want to have a cup of coffee at 8 o'clock at night because I just want
it's
the pumpkin
so good.
Creamer. It's delicious.
Here's what's going to happen though. People are going to start asking us and I don't even know anything about this.
I do. I wrote it all out.
What if people come into your DMs and are asking about
I'm ready to copy paste.
Okay.
If you come into my DMs and say, I got to know about the coffee, the pumpkin creamer, I watched that TikTok video probably 12 times and wrote it out as the lady made it. Mm. And it is here's what I want to say. When we are using chemically modified creamers with all kinds of sweeteners in them, there is a different flavor.
It's true.
There is a different lingering aftertaste. Let me just tell you about this pumpkin creamer. It's made with real, like Libby's pureed pumpkin and things like maple syrup and brown sugar and butter. Yeah, you melt a half a stick of butter. You melt a half a stick of butter in the very beginning.
I didn't even know.
And there is this flavorful, real taste that doesn't leave this like zingy kind of chemically taste in your mouth afterwards.
I know.
It's like this.
It makes me feel like I have bad breath too sometimes.
That pumpkin creamer, I can't say enough about it.
Well, you know where it started. It started from Sure House. So Sure House has a pumpkin latte that they make with the
Sure House. If you are listening.
They have a pumpkin.
And also Libby's if you are
pumpkin,
listening.
Listen, do you remember when people went cuckoo for pumpkin a couple years ago?
There was
a
shortage.
Here's your sign. It's October. Maybe you should go buy your pumpkin before the Thanksgiving
rush. I
really
thought you were going to say, maybe you should go buy your damn pumpkin.
I thought it, but I remembered. My mom listens to this. Go buy your pumpkin. Go buy your pumpkin before we have a shortage.
Also, sorry, Francine.
Well, you can say it because you're 56. Here's the thing. It started with that because Sure House has a latte that has real puree pumpkin in it. And they make a homemade marshmallow where they torch it.
Now, let me just say this. I want to say this to Sure House.
Say it.
And I want to say it to if you go into Sure House and order that drink. You have to mention the marshmallow.
Right.
Because if you don't mention the marshmallow, you're not getting the marshmallow.
Well, here's what actually...
I've had two people message me and say, I went in and got the pumpkin drink.
You have to ask. Yeah, you have to ask.
And I didn't get the marshmallow on it. Do I have to do something? I said, ask.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Listen, here's what we need to do. On this Wednesday...
Okay.
When this podcast drops, what I would love to see is people go in to Sure House and say, I listened to These Are Good Days, and they said I need to get this pumpkin spice latte with the flambéed torch marshmallow.
And I need to ask for the torch marshmallow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Let's sell them out.
That drink is delicious. So did Mallory go on a mission to find a pumpkin creamer? It is delicious.
Because it has real puree. It doesn't have a syrup in it.
Delicious.
Or like, you know how you can buy those bottles of syrup, flavored syrups? Nothing.
Nothing like that.
Nothing
it's
like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely. And let me also say this. When you're 56.
As you are.
Yes. You get to a place where I don't want tchotchkes. Yeah. I don't want you to buy me a sweater.
Right.
I mean, now if you do, thank you. But
you're welcome.
But you're welcome. A way that is like loving me is like, yes, if I love something like that,
yes,
and you walk in the door with a mason jar full of it,
yes,
you are saying, Leanne Miller, I love you.
I love you.
Yeah.
Every time I
make the coffee, I'm like, Mallory loves me.
She's the best.
She got a good one there.
Okay. Here's my good day. Is that your good day? No, I'm saying
that can be my good day. Is that gift of that creamer? That gift of that creamer.
We did spend about 6 minutes talking about pumpkin creamer.
It's so good.
Well, I'll tell you my good day. Recently, my friend Grant, who was in my wedding, we were friends in our 20s.
Listen, we lived almost next door to one another. We had a mowed path to each other's places.
We need a nickname for Grant. We need a nickname. Let's think about it off air. Okay, let's not workshop this. No, we're not workshopping on air. But you know, we have Skyline Eric, Disney Danielle, yes, Counselor
yes,
Cat.
Yes,
we need a name for Grant.
Yes, yes. Breakfast Club. Shout out Breakfast Club.
But I need, or sorry, Grant messaged me and said, "Hey, can we grab dinner?" And you know what?
Well, I thought you grabbed a beer.
How dare you? How actually dare you? How actually? I'm actually infuriated right now. This is what happened. Grant messaged me and said, "Hey, let's hang out on Friday night." I said, "Great." Grant lives far away. He lives on the other side of Amish country from us.
He doesn't live that far, 45 minutes?
Like 50. Okay. 50 is a lot. 50 is a lot more than 45.
You're like, it's almost an hour.
Listen, you drive to Amish country like it's nobody's business. I got lots to do in Worcester.
I got a job. I got kids.
I can't drive to Amish country all the time. So he wanted to get together. It was like Wednesday night. Listen, my mom, in a pinch, I said, "Hey, Mallory's busy Friday night. She had book club. Grant wants to have dinner. What do you say?" And she said, "Yes." She took my kids to Ramsire Farm for the night.
Of course she did.
They ate at food trucks. They played board games. When I walked into her house at 8:15, they were playing a card game.
And they were like, "No." Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
But I did go to JFB with Grant. It's a very busy place on Friday afternoon.
It's a cool place.
Yeah. And then we went to Salsa Roja to eat. Like a taco place downtown next to Fleet.
Yes, exactly. How do you feel about it?
It was good. It was great.
So Salsa
Roja.
If you are listening, and JFB.
I know JFB. They have, right. I'm not a big beer person, but if I am drinking a beer, they have like a dark nitro coffee.
Of course they
porter,
do.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know
you
stuff like that.
You probably would drink an ale at Disney.
I never have had an ale at Disney, but maybe I will now, just so I can say I have. But here's what it is. Grant, what I love about Grant is Grant will say, "It's been too long. Let's get together. Yeah. What are you doing Friday?
Yeah.
And you know what was so awesome is Grant is such an easy person to talk to, such a good listener. We just talked about what it's like to be a dad, you know, at this age. We both have little kids.
You have a look on your face like, it's hard.
It's hard. It's hard to be a dad and to be married and to have a job and to do all the things. And so,
and a podcast.
And to take care of your, and to manage Leanne Miller. And to take care of your health. You know, Grant's a very health conscious person. Yes. And so he's somebody that I talk to about my health sometimes. Yeah. So all that kind of stuff, it was just so good. And so, you know, we've said this before. It's actually been a while since we've said this. If there's that person out there that you're like, "Oh, I miss them," or "It's been a while," do
them.
It.
Yes.
Pick up the phone, get out your calendar.
Yes.
Do it.
Listen, just about every person I get together with, I could name four off the top of my head. We get our phones out before we leave and we pick the next date.
Yeah.
Because if you don't,
it's going to pass you by.
3 to 6 months will pass.
That's right.
And you'll run into that person and be like, "I have not seen you for 6 months.
I know. I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And truthfully, this really leads into our discussion.
Yes.
Because often our lives get so full so fast. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, our lives are so full that we have no wiggle room to have relationships like that outside of your spouse and mm-hmm. your kids mm-hmm. or maybe your family commitments mm-hmm. or your relationships at job that you have to go to. I like that we call our jobs just job.
Job.
Your relationship at job.
Jobby. Yeah,
job. Job of the hut.
Remember when I had that job for 1 year? It was exactly mm-hmm. 1 year, almost to the day. And I'd say, J-O-B.
J-O-B.
J-O-B. I had that job.
J-O-B.
And I had that job because I was like, we have a son at Wheaton College and it ain't
J-O-B.
Cheap.
That's
and
right.
I'm just going to work this J-O-B part-time so I can make that college payment.
That's right.
That parent plus payment.
You did it.
I did it.
Listen, so what we're talking about today is having margin in our life. You know, that term comes from, do you know what that term comes from?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Margin on a piece of paper?
Yes, the margin yeah. on a piece of paper or the books, like writing in the margin. Oh, it's yeah. that extra white space around the edges of a book or a piece of paper that kind of bring balance to it, helps your eye see it more clearly.
Yeah, it's good.
Really shows you where the words are. You know, if
good.
If the words are to the edge of the book, it would honestly disrupt our brain, and I think we would have a really difficult time reading, or like reading a piece of paper. Or
retaining
or a book.
Even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that margin really helps us settle our brain and center our brain. How do you feel like you create margin for yourself?
Okay. I can already tell you one new way that I've been doing this, the new habit. I've talked about it before. I'm going to talk about it again. I talked about it on my Instagram. I'm a huge fan. I have been plugging my phone in the bathroom.
I know, it's so impressive.
And do you want me to hear something that's wild?
I feel like I can't answer. This is a catch 22. I feel like we're on a podcast, so you better say it.
I am entering week 4.
Okay.
And I am down an hour, over an hour phone time just by doing that.
Tell me about how your sleep's changed.
Well, and
that's what I'm curious about.
It's not just my sleep. I would say even more than my sleep, my brain feels peaceful. My brain feels quiet. Like, so I plug my phone in. I do my routine, face routine, brush teeth, plug phone in, and go into my bedroom. And I want to tell you, the first week, it felt weird not having my phone in my hand to plug in by the side of the bed or to have in bed.
Did you look at your phone while you were laying in bed?
Oh, often. Yeah, often. Or I would.
I do that.
Or the screen would light up.
Yeah.
And so my room's dark, so I'd see the screen light up and I just couldn't help it. I'd just look and it would be a friend or it would be Teddy or Joey or whatever.
Carlos Whitaker, let's buy a pig.
then my brain is just react. It actually is like, boom, wake, boom.
Yeah.
Like, and then, so now what happens is I go and I go to bed and I'm with my thoughts, like quietly with my thoughts, not with a phone.
Yeah.
I can't even explain how it's changed things for me with waking up and going to bed. If you have your phone by your bed on your nightstand, I suggest trying it for at least 2 weeks and see if you see any changes. Because another big change is in the morning. I would wake up, roll over, see text messages or see notifications, and I would grab my phone in bed. And I would lay there for the first 20 minutes or half hour. Now, I'll sometimes go downstairs without my phone even in my hand because my mind is not there.
Yeah. I can't get a hold of you anymore. I'm like, where are you? Hey, listen, margin is so important in our lives. Mm. You know, not having our lives filled to the brim is so, so important because it makes us less stressful. This is what I'm hearing you say too.
Yes.
I have this written down, but this is literally what you just said. It reduces stress. It helps us to catch our breath, relax, and recharge. It increases productivity. That's what you're talking about in the morning.
Oh, especially thoughts. Yeah. Like
it improves your relationships. Yeah. Do you feel like it improves your relationships?
Yes.
And it fosters creativity. It's when I hear you talking about being with your thoughts.
Yes.
I think sometimes we're not alone with our thoughts enough
in
a positive way.
Yes. I've had two that I can't share right now, but I will share eventually. I've had two really great ideas that literally have legs on them and are starting to walk from not having my phone in my room and just laying there. And I'm like, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And that's a good idea. You know, it, I'm
we are
allowing...
not getting a syndicated show. Leanne and I are not doing a,
we might.
We're not doing like a sitcom yet.
But it allows this space of like, almost like self brainstorming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When I think about the idea of margin, the biggest one for me that I think about is just margin with our time. You know, for us, I've said this before on the podcast, but we have made a commitment with our family. You know, when we had a young family and we had little babies, it's so easy to stay home. Like, because, you know, the baby needs to go to bed and you're feeding and you're diapering and you're doing all the things. But as your baby gets older, things start creeping into your life and you're like, oh, we could do that. And we, oh, we could stay out a little later. But for us, when our kids started getting older, where we felt a little more independence from home, we decided we needed a little bit of space and structure in our life with our time. And so what that looks like for us is we have dinner with my mom on Wednesday nights. We have small group on Thursday nights, and we rarely plan other things. You know, we have pizza every Friday night at home if we can. But managing our time, I think a big part of it for us is saying like, the other part of margin that I think we so often overlook that I think is so important is when we have margin in our life, it allows us to have opportunity to look for the unexpected.
Right.
So this is what I mean, because I have a couple of categories as well. When I think about financial margin, here's what that means for me. That means we live within our means so we can go to Disney.
Right.
It means we're living within our means so that when a need comes up, we sent some money to someone that we know that was affected in Asheville recently by the hurricane. You know, we have financial margin because that when an opportunity comes up from the Lord or from a need that we hear about or from even truthfully, even something fun
even
we want to buy.
Yeah, I was gonna say a want.
Something fun that our kids want. Yeah. We are not so strapped that we have to say no to everything.
Right.
And so for me, creating margin in our finances is important too, because it's not stressful for me to go out to dinner. It's not stressful when Mallory said, hey, it's been a big day. Can we just order takeout? Sure. You know, we're not so strapped. There's a little bit of wiggle room. And I also think margin with is important for us to take care of ourselves too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big one that I think we sometimes overlook. And I would say culturally, women probably have women have more expectations of them.
Oh my
culturally,
goodness. Yes.
There's kids.
I mean,
a lot of women are working.
And the beauty industry.
There's just that.
Like
there's
billion
food.
Dollar.
People be feeding kids every day. No one told me that.
I know. And it does. And it's like never, it just keeps going.
I know. That's honestly the hardest part of parenting is they need fed. And so I think having some margin to take care of yourself is important in that too.
Yeah.
And I think we overlook that because we run to the brim. You know, by the time we hit bed, we're looking at our freaking phones and then we start all over on the grind again with our mind wandering and racing.
Yeah, that's good.
How do you think you have financially kept margin in your life? Because you are a generous person and you're the kind of person that will say, you know, we do this to each other. Well, I saw this. I picked this up for you. Oh, it's fun. How do you do that in your life?
I'm married to Daryl.
What does that mean?
I'm terrible. I if you were to say to me like what's your budget, I'd be like, what? So I in fact I was just having this conversation with our attorney not long ago, and he said, you know, I just want to advise you to just sit down and start and just make a list. Like make a list of, you know, the
like your dreams?
No, like the different renovations that we have like our cost of renovating and our, you know, the Sea Loft in Hilton Head.
Right.
And, you know, how long ago was it that you made out a will and where all your.
Yeah, your boys are probably old now for your will. Was your will when they were babies?
Oh, it was when we were thinking about if anything happens to us and we need to appoint guardians.
Yeah, you don't need that now.
So no, we don't need that now. So, you know, so I'm not good at it, Matt. I'm not.
Yeah.
And I want to be better, and I'm looking for ways to be better at it. And I just kind of like, oh, that's what it says we have in the bank. That's cool. And then and then
Daryl
maybe
goes, whoa, whoa, whoa.
And then maybe 6 weeks later, I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. You know, I mean.
That's really funny.
I'm not really good at it.
Well, I think some of it for us is, you know, and I'm not saying that you don't. These are just things that we do. But, you know, we have an emergency fund. Our furnace went out recently.
Yes.
Was it a fun thing? No. But it wasn't financially stressful because we have an emergency fund. You know, those kind of things, that's the margin I'm talking about too. I think often when we think about margin, we're thinking about extra time to rest, which is definitely part of it. But I also think margin can also mean it's prioritizing things so that there's give and take.
Yeah, because here's the thing. We have lived back in, you know, I'd say 15 years ago where we had financial pressures.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you, nothing will take your margin faster than bills being due, payroll being due if you have staff and a team to pay. And really the pressure of having to hustle and having to do it and having to go because you have these bills awaiting.
Right.
And so I would say if that's you, I wish somebody would have told me back then to earlier than we did to look around and to make some real changes so that we could remove those financial pressures. Because I was just saying this to you the other day, that when we got out of business with my family, when we downsized, we sold our property in Walnut Creek and we downsized and moved to a small loft in a beautiful loft, but a smaller 2-bedroom, 1-bath loft in downtown Worcester. And then now we live in our cute little small farmhouse. We are more financially stable than we've ever been.
Yeah.
But it's because we don't have those pushing pressures of just all the stuff.
Totally.
And I think there is this temptation sometimes, I think, when everything is going great, to add more, to add more stuff, to add more hustle or add more stuff or think about a bigger house. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I don't think I'm like that. I don't think that's, I don't, maybe that's a personality thing. Cause I think for me, I am so stressed about taking care of the home.
Well, and I also think this could be someone who's very entrepreneurial.
Oh,
driven.
100%.
Like if you're an entrepreneur and you're driven by business and being an entrepreneur, that it can just be like, you know, go, like start something, do something, you know. And I've really had to try to harness that in a healthy way, that I'm not trying to go after something and build something just because it's just more.
Right.
Because all more is more.
Absolutely.
And with more comes more pressure, less margin, less peace. You know, we have more peace in our life than we've ever had in our life. And it's because I think part of it is because we really did unload some.
I mean, you're not
pressures.
Even laying next to your phone. That's how peaceful your life is. Some of us, we need to lay by our phones, but not you.
Not me.
You put it in the bathroom.
That phone was messing with my brain.
Yeah.
And I just had to do something to kind of disconnect and settle my thinking down.
Okay. When you think about margin in your life, I think of time too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's the first thing we think of. How do you allocate and prioritize time in your life so that you have margin, or how do you think about that?
I want to tell you something. I am 56 and it didn't start until I entered my 50s.
Yeah.
Of the confidence to say no. Mm. And especially to say no to things that I kind of knew going in, I should say no to this, but I feel bad because I know this lady and she's so sweet.
Right.
No. The answer is no. And so now I am confident in the day rate I charge. If I'm going to do an event or whatever, this is my day rate. If it's not in your budget, I understand, but this is what it is. I'm not going to just say yes to everything.
Yeah. What are the filters you put things through for that? Like, how do I get a yes from Leanne Miller is what I'm asking.
Well, I was asked to speak not long ago to Farmers Association, two different events, and they told me what their budget was. And And farmers are an important part of my generational life. I mean, my grandparents mm-hmm. were dairy farmers, and I have said, and you've heard me say this before, I sound like an old woman when I feel old when I say this, but I am concerned for the American farm.
Totally.
I am concerned for farms in the United States. I've been saying that for the last 5 years. Yeah. We're seeing farmers and farms go disappear. Mm-hmm. I mean, Meijer is a great example. North end of our town, beautiful big farm they used to pass all the time when I was little on our way to Cleveland, is now a Meijer sits mm-hmm. on that farm. And I care about farmers. So I told her I wanted to think about it. And I talked to you about it. I talked to Daryl about it. I thought about it. And I was like, I'm going to do this because these groups of people matter to me. And that's where the Luke story came from.
Oh, Luke.
Yeah, Luke, if you are listening, I still have your card in my car. That's I need to so give funny. Him. But so I put it through a filter of my faith. You
totally.
Know, do I feel prompted like by the Lord to say yes to this?
Yeah.
Do I feel like this is going to stress me out? Like if I feel like something is going to stress me out, like I'm going to worry, I'm going to stress, then the answer to that needs to probably be no.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
No, like recently I did a photo shoot or a film. We shot film and video footage with the squirrel, that you said, oh, you're on your way to Mickey Mouse.
You are.
The squirrel Sprout from Kime Lumber. We had such a fun day. It was so great. And it felt like, I wanted to think about it. I needed to give them my rate. And, and it felt, the whole day felt right. Mm-hmm. But in the saying of the yes, I felt like I also felt like a good about it. Like solid. I gave my rate. They said yes. They said this is the time. They said what recipes. And everything kind of clicked into place. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes... with no, we kind of know right kind of at the beginning.
Like it's in our gut.
And then every step is like a little no.
Right,
like this
right.
Little
I shouldn't have done this.
This little whisper of like, I should say no to this.
I don't want to leave home for this. Yeah, I get that. I think for me, saying yes has to align with a priority in our life. So it has to align with a priority. So maybe it's going to help us financially.
Yeah.
Maybe it's in alignment with something we care about. Maybe it's supporting our kids for something. But I came across this video from Brené Brown talking about how families make decisions for what their families are going to commit to.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember this video?
Yeah. It was a,
she said there are families out there. Like when you're thinking about all the activities your kids want to do, there are families out there that are parent-centered families where the parents, it's all about the parents. It's their careers, it's their hobbies, it's their friends, and the kids are kind of the afterthought.
Yes.
And then there are children-led family, children-centered families,
where
it's all about the children. It's all about their hobbies, their travel ball, they're in the band, they're doing all these things. And then she said for her family, how she and her husband like to describe it, which I'm fascinated that she's married to a pediatrician. They call it family-centered families.
I love it.
Where they all come together and they say, okay,
how's this going
to impact
the
fall
family?
Season,
yes.
Timmy wants to do basketball. What does that schedule look like? Johnny wants to do band. What does that schedule look like? Mom's writing a book and going on a book tour. Mm-hmm. Dad has patients. It's a busy season at the hospital. And they all come together and they say, okay, if we're going to be a family-centered family, we want everyone to get what they want or what they need. But it has to work for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think for me, for our family, my kids, here's something I know about my kids. My kids need a level of home. My kids want home. Mm-hmm. They want to be home with us. Mm-hmm. My son Fitz is like, he told the school counselor that he was scared at school. She did a little investigating and he went, well, I'm not really scared. I would just rather be with my mom and dad every day. And I love that. I think that's precious. It's the second year he said he's scared at school. And it's the second year he said, I would rather just be with mom and dad all day. Fitz is our kid that will try to make a pallet next to our bed every night or every time there's a thunderstorm. Mm-hmm. But our kids, my kids, not everybody's kids, but my kids need a level of home.
Oh, our boys
that
too.
Is, I don't know how families run. I truly don't know how families run everywhere because it makes my kids tired. It makes behavior come out. And for us, when we are prioritizing our home and we're prioritizing our family, it just makes us all work better together.
When we were, let me just tell you the invisible of what is going to happen when your kids get older that you're going to see that we have seen with our boys at 29 and 24 is our boys love their homes. Our boys love being home. They don't really want, they're like, it's like Daryl and I, they really don't want to go.
Yeah.
They want to be at home. They would rather cook at home. They'd rather have the meal at home. They'd rather watch the movie at home. They really love being home. Yeah. And I think that starts right now.
Totally.
When your kids are young and when they're little. And I do think that it does give a level of stability. Do I think being in sports and being in band and being in chorus and being in the theater club and all of that's important, of course.
Yeah,
and
listen, Luca's joining the band this year.
But I think being in all of it and running every single day and always being in the drive-thru where they pretty much have your order memorized, I do think that's something to look at.
Totally.
You know, and I know people that just really are not home very much at all.
I know. I pay too much. Listen, my mortgage is too expensive to not come here.
Yeah.
Here's the last thing I was thinking of is when we have margin, we have better relationships. So there's kind of a couple layers to this. The first layer is don't connect with people out of guilt or obligation.
Right.
So you know the person, there's those people. That person that you're like, we're kind of friends. I never really walk away feeling great. I don't feel like it's a good use of time. You got to start saying no to that person because when you do that, it frees up time for the people you really, really want to be around.
I agree.
You know, for our family,
my gosh, I agree.
For our family, we are very social people. You know, Mallory and I are very extroverted. But I will say we protect our calendar and who we spend time with outside of work, outside of our kids is very precious to us. And I'm not saying that like we're selfish, but we are a little bit selfish because I'm like, if I'm going to get my butt up off the couch and leave my kids, it's going to be something good or you're going to be
or meaningful.
If I'm going to find a babysitter, and we're going to, you know. If me and Mallory are going to prioritize not being together as a family, it has to be something that's in alignment with where I am or what I need or what the other person needs or wherever we are. And so I think, you know, saying no in those situations and also not having a full calendar so that you can say yes.
Right. That's good.
I think that's the biggest part for me as an almost 40-year-old is amazing, setting up.
Amazing.
I feel like a new level of finding margin is setting up your life in such a way that there is white space so that when the opportunity for something with finances or to make a meal for someone or to have someone over for dinner, when those things pop up, you are not so pushed to the brim that you can't say yes to anything else. And so I guess that's my zinger about margin is it's not about just saying no. It's about saying no that you can say yes. It's saying no saying so that you can say a better yes.
Yes. Yeah. Saying yes to the right things and no to the right things. I just not long ago, I said to Daryl, man, it's Saturday and we are just like hanging out and I'm watering my plants and you're talking about going down to your mom and dad's for lunch. And, you know, and our Saturdays were never like that ever.
Yeah.
Until the last, I don't know, since 2016, really. How many years is that? Last 8 years.
Yeah.
Where we have like weekends and, you know, we're not playing this, like, you know, I think a good indicator, if you don't have margin, if you don't have any margin, I think you kind of know because you're running ragged. But also a good indicator of no margin is when you feel like the weekend or the day off, like, how are you going to catch up on everything? Mm-hmm. There is just so much to catch up on, and I'll never catch up on it all.
Right.
So something's got to give. Something has got to be eliminated. And maybe it's something with your church. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's volunteer. Maybe it's something that you're volunteering for that's admirable and great.
Right.
But it needs to come off your schedule just for right now.
Right.
Because I think that I would rather do less and do a wonderful, intentional job than do more and be crazy and harried.
100%. Mm-hmm. So bottom line, Say no so you can say yes.
Yes.
Say no.
Yeah,
it's okay
good.
To say no.
That's
you
good.
Have our permission.
Yes.
Tell them, Leanne and Matt said, you can say no.
No. Yeah, you can say no. Yeah, we'll be the bad guys. Okay.
Hey, let's talk about food. I already had one thing. That was a little opera. Okay. Buy your pumpkin. This is your warning. Buy your pumpkin. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has pumpkin. Buy it. Buy it now.
Oh yeah. Buy your pumpkin. Okay.
Buy your pumpkin.
Here's what I want to say is, you know, they have an incredible bakery section.
100%.
And they have some things right now, like frosted brown sugar cookies.
Oh,
They also have like frosted pumpkin bars.
Yes.
They also like their cutouts. Actually, Mallory.
They're pillowy. They're like little pillows.
It absolutely is the truth.
They're so good.
Their cutout cookies are so good. Some places like Mark's will have some of Walnut Creek Cheese and Market's baked goods. They have their cinnamon rolls. They have their cinnamon toast bread.
You know, give me maple or don't come at all.
Give me maple or don't come at all. One of you who I just won't say who, but it was so fun and so funny. And I took a screenshot and sent it to you. Her husband had a birthday and he was holding the birthday cake and it had maple frosting on it. And she said, her husband said, bring maple or don't come at all. And I love it. I think we should probably have a picture of a cinnamon roll dripping with maple with frosting maple. And have a slogan that says, bring maple or don't come at all. Yeah. Now, nobody's going to really know what that means except for people
out of context.
Here.
It's a little strange.
Yeah. But they're cinnamon rolls.
They're so good. Their bakery section. Listen, if you're headed to like fall festivals, you're headed to get togethers or you're sitting around a campfire, go pick up some of those baked goods. They're so good. They're so good. Hey, well, thank you so much for joining us in this conversation all about margin. You know, in our conversation, I hope we gave you a little bit more permission to say no so you can say yes. Because here's what it is. At the end of the day, we all should be spending our time and our money and our relationships on things and people that we absolutely love.
Yes, that's good.
Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.